Hi everyone, it's Sal. Well, it's nearing the end of 2018 and it's been a bloody big year for both of us. The silly season is fast approaching and we're feeling just a little confused and overwhelmed. What can best be summed up as a state of topsy-turvy? In this episode, we explore strategies to pull us out of topsy-turvy land. Drop us a line at thepurposepatch@gmail.com and don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Welcome to The Purpose Patch, where our intention is to help you grow a life you love.
Join us on our adventures as we discover the fun and joy in taking action.
Hosted by
Sal Mack
and Luz Vargo, two ex-corporate slaves who've decided life is worth a bigger roll of the dice.
Each episode will put the theories to the test with practical actions you can follow too.
What could possibly go wrong?
Back on deck, Purpose Patch episode. What number are we at now?
Oh, hold on.
Eight.
I think we're at eight. I think we said we were at eight last time, though.
We got confused.
Oops. We're back again. We've had a bit of a break.
We have had a bit of a break. God, life gets busy.
Oh, my God.
Purpose Patch podcasting can get...
You've been busy launching a television show.
Oh, well, one of many people.
Yeah, single-handedly, I'd say.
Yeah, it's funny because I think as we near the end of 2018, Sal, it's kind of crazy to think that in 12 months a lot has happened, particularly the second half of the year flies by.
Yeah.
Not as an excuse, but, I mean, I sneezed and October was over, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I started getting it a bit early as usual in about September. Yeah. Thought like, oh, my God, it's Q4.
It's Q4.
Q4, and I'm tired. And I'd like to have a nap.
Well, what is that? Because I think you start the year so energized, so full of hopes ambitions.
When I think back to us in January.
Oh, I know. We were ready to take on the world. And it's not about changing those goals, but no. I think you do need to kind of reset at various points. And I think
when we set all those things at the start of the year, including booking the ill-fated Tony Robbins.
that never happened.
We never
Sal
actually.
Sal and I booked a Tony Robbins seminar and then pulled out.
Lou ended up selling the tickets to a man in a car park.
There was a financial cost to this irrational thing.
There was a big financial cost. Anyway, the point is that I think at the start of the year when I set all these things, sometimes I think my energy is always going to be high, or I think it should be maybe, should always be at the same level. And the reality is it's not. There are some weeks when it's just hard to get out of bed.
You make it sound very dire.
Yeah, well.
But what has happened?
Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
Let's launch into this. So for you, you've been working at this job and you've also relocated to Melbourne. So there's been some big things that have happened lately.
Yeah, principally for the Purpose Patch.
So
I'm going to allocate these costs to the Purpose Patch. No, so we can record.
Oh, so we can record, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah.
That's a joke. Anyway.
Went over my head.
We're not financially viable. It's been a massive adjustment for me at this job and there's things that are very challenging. I could feel myself getting a little bit negative, which we've all done before in jobs. And it's easy to get in that cycle.
And how bad, I mean, negative people in the world, they're bloody toxic. But not to say it's your fault, but we've talked a little bit about this recently. Like,
yeah,
you've got such a responsibility, I think, when you're in a confined space.
Oh,
with people,
yes.
Every day.
Yes. Well, both of us are in really small companies at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's even more obvious if you're in a bunker. Like three people.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm not saying that everything's always cheery or that you have to always be happy, but, I mean, I've certainly been really conscious in the last few months of when things aren't going right and people are upset or negative or consistently take, you know, the downer view of things. It's bloody exhausting.
It is. And I think the problem is I probably haven't realized how much I can contribute to it and just get a bit heavy with it all.
So what have you done to try and, well, so you're going to try and fix?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy. The whole blame thing is always easy because we sort of, it makes you feel temporarily good, get a bit of a hit, but it's much harder to try and be an example, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Oh,
Gandhi.
Fantastic.
Gandhi.
Was it Gandhi?
Yeah, it was Gandhi. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I think I'm just trying to work on not reacting as much or getting drawn into it. And as well, just realizing it's one piece of life. It doesn't need to be heavy. And nothing's going to be perfect. And this isn't the end of that, of whatever this next phase is. It's maybe the start.
But you've also moved. Like moving, even if it's just moving from, you've moved from Sydney to Melbourne, it's not like overseas move again. But that takes its toll too. It's all the life admin that goes with moving, I think, that can kind of feel a bit.
I always discount that too. I sort of discount it and I think, oh, no, it's easy. It's not a big international move. And in a sense it is because it's just coming home. But, yes, it is also having to find a house.
At the moment you're living with me. sorry, your stuff, but you don't know where you're living yet. Like, I just think it's that uncertainty of, like, yes, you know you're going to get an apartment.
This is Lou's master plan all along. I think, and thank God she rescued me from not one but two noisy other situations that I had lined up with family. So it's all that stuff that you don't realize. You think, oh, yeah, that's great. Both my mum and my cousin offered to have me, and this may sound ridiculous to some people, but I need absolute silence to sleep, right? So my mum, who's way cooler than me, lives in trendy St Kilda, which I've renamed the Seventh Circle of Hell.
Sorry to any of our St Kilda listeners.
Because it's just 24-hour-a-day noise, and she can't hear it, luckily, because she's, you know, got a bit of a hearing problem. But then I moved, Lou found this hilarious. I then moved to my lovely cousins who offered to have me, and she then said to me as I was coming over, she said, oh, that, you know, there's a bit of a train noise, because I said the reason I have to move is because it's too noisy. A bit of a train noise. It was like living in the middle of the station.
Were you right next to the station?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It ran right through. So
you do get used to those sounds, though. I mean,
if I can't sleep, I feel like sound affects me on a vibrational. Well, it affects all of us, actually.
Yeah.
Even if you think you get used to it, I'm not sure. What about all the micro wake-ups?
I used to be really bad like that, and then I think traveling and staying in dorms and stuff, I'm still not great, but I'm much better than what I was. And I now live next door to a really cute family, and they've got a three-year-old who wakes up every morning at 5 and talk about inner city Melbourne living. And I hear him every morning like, Mom! Mom! And I'm like, oh, my God.
It's your alarm.
Back to sleep. It's your alarm. So I do, but I just put my ear plugs in. And he's cute. You know what I mean? It's not like.
What's better than a train?
Not like raucous sex or something next door every night. Could be worse.
That would be the worst. Anyway, I think it's all those things, yeah, that do add up, and maybe you think they'll be more straightforward, or you sort of, there's a gap between when you're in a routine and get resettled, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to. So I just feel a little bit dazed. Dazed and confused, possibly.
Good name for a movie.
Dazed and confused.
Actually was a movie.
Starring someone. And I'm also going back to London this week for a quick visit, which may be a bit like opening Pandora's box.
And I'm just waiting to see whether you're going to come back or not.
Phone a friend. So what's been happening with you?
So, yeah, so I think work got busy, which was always going to happen. So I was helping out on a show that, yeah, small team, and I just think the hours a little bit, and I like worked on aspects of it that I guess happened out of the 9 to 5 sometimes too. So. That had like a social media component. So I guess, you know, that just sense, like it wasn't a heap of time, but it was just, you know, when you're constantly aware of monitoring something a bit.
Well, it's always with you.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the thing. And you realize, and I think a lot of people have jobs like this, that I went to this seminar once and I had the name for it. It was called the envelope of loyalty. It's like where you don't leave work at work. Mm. And we've talked about this in the podcast before, like I guess emails on your phone, being the ability to be connected to a network at work so you can connect and do work from home. Like I love the flexibility of that, but I think it means that work is often with you.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the work. So it's funny. It's this weird thing that, well, it's not weird, but it's you think it's energizing and you think that it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it is probably, and you've just got to.
Well, it's just, I think it can just take the energy. The other thing I've been thinking is for me it's maybe not about hours, but I'm more into measuring by difficulty now.
What do you mean?
So if you say, okay, there's someone that works like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but all they do is the same routine task, you know, they're plugging numbers or something like that.
Your brain's not forced
to. Yeah, well, it's not cognitive load. So whereas if I have to have a conversation with one of our facilitators about their pay, that is stressful. That takes energy. That takes a lot of mental load. And, the other day I sort of had to have three of those conversations. And then at the end of the day I thought, I thought it's five. I can't do any more work, which is fine because that's actually my hours, which has never been the case. But usually I would never leave straight on, the dot. But then I just thought, I did some difficult shit today.
Yeah, but it's all about output, isn't it? Like, this is what I think with jobs.
Yeah, but I think we still punish ourselves with the whole you've got to be on.
But I think the best jobs are where people are just charged with being adults and here's your job, here's your role, I'm going to measure your output and how you get it done. It's largely irrelevant. And I've been allowed to work like that and it's good. It's just probably been a period of time where it's probably required more of an approach that sort of is a bit more ongoing and a bit, always on. But it's been good. So that's been good. And then the other thing I've wanted to do all this year, Sal, is approaching 35. I've always thought about freezing my eggs. And so, so I did that in the last month, as you know, which has been probably, I think now that I've done it and I've realized probably it's been hanging over me a bit this year because I think one.
Only this year or longer?
Oh, no. I'd sort of thought about it for the last couple of years, but really seriously, I sort of thought I'd do it this year, early. Like February, March, decided I was going to do it. I mean, I've always talked to people about it and the decision to do it. But, it's not ideal. Like you don't, when you look at your life, go, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, it's not in the 18-year-old plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the hardest point, and I'm a bit careful with talking to people about it, not because I'm funny, I think I like being open about it, but I know it's a triggering conversation for people. We've talked a lot about it at length and like it's something I want to do, might not necessarily be something you want to do. And I just think
it still forces you to think about it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that for people, you don't know where they're at with it, so you do have to be a bit careful, I think, raising it sometimes. But I'll talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry if it's triggered anyone. But, the actual doing it, I think I did put it off then for a bit this year because I was like, it's complicated in terms of the process you've got to go through. It's not an insignificant amount of money. And then I think it's probably a lot of it's wrapped up in a narrative of how you think your life is going and putting that version to bed and dealing with the next frontier.
Yeah. Accepting where it's at.
Yeah. But look, now having done it, it was actually so much easier, the actual process of doing it. Like most things, you actually are more worried about stuff. Well, not worried, but you think it's bigger than it is, and then once you go through the motions and do it.
Well, it's like every day you break down, I've got to have this injection, I've got to take this pill.
Yeah, and it's overwhelming when you first see people because I think they're really, I can't fault the information and things you got, and I'd spoken to people who'd gone through it as well. But you do, you get information overload. You first go there and it is like you're giving yourself injections every day, which is, as someone who has a needle phobia.
Oh, when you messaged to say you're about to do it, I just couldn't. Yeah. It's the sort of thing like you say, you never think you can do it until you just do it.
Absolutely. And also too, I think because no one can tell you how your body's probably going to react. Like I was really lucky that I didn't really notice any effects, but some people get quite bloated with it. Some people get quite cranky and irritable.
Yeah.
And I think that was why there was probably a little bit when I was doing it, like working in an office full of men, I was like, do I really want to be telling these guys I'm doing it now? Because
did you tell them?
I did actually.
Yeah.
I didn't tell all of them, but I told a couple. And actually one of them was the only one I ever got weird. I don't know why it was, but it felt like a bit like telling, I don't know, I just got really, because he was a bit weird about it.
Yeah.
It made me weird. And then we had a laugh about it the next day. I was like, that was totally weird when I told you that. I don't know why it was funny. But
it's sort of like telling your older, male boss you've got your period or something.
Yeah, they don't want to know. No. He didn't want to know. He's like, oh.
Lady issues.
It was quite funny.
Oh, dear.
But, yes, look, so I know that's probably, now that I've come through it, I guess, yeah, I can look back on the last couple of months and go, that was probably a big
And
my headspace with that.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite a timely thing to kind of look at this now and go, I just want to get back into being reinvigorated and feeling good. And
yeah,
because it has felt a bit
I think the way tumultuous. I feel is not bad.
Mm.
It's just more, I just do feel a bit unsettled and a bit like I've got cotton wool in my head.
Yeah.
I can't see straight sort of thing. But it's not like I'm having a bad experience every day. It's just feels a bit fuzzy.
So let's see if we can unfuzzy ourselves.
Unfuzzy. Yeah, and re-energize.
Yeah.
Yeah. In time for the Christmas party season. Because I plan to drink quite a bit of Prosecco.
And eggnog.
Eggnog? We're not really in Australia. Bloody hell. I'll have some in London for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go off. Hello, Sally. Part two.
Hello. Do you know you do that every time?
Do I?
Oh, yes.
I thought that was part of like the topsy-turvy, trying to sound more positive. But maybe I do that all the time.
Yeah, you lift up in your head.
Sorry.
Great.
Good.
How have you gone?
Well, look, Sal, I have gone back to basics.
Yeah.
For me, when everything feels a little bit like I need to enter the next phase and I'm just feeling just a because I said in the first half, I've just done my egg freezing, so I have had all these
hormones. Can we visit
hormones?
Them?
My eggs?
Yeah.
I don't know. You probably could.
I'd like to take them on an excursion.
I don't know where they are. Take them out in an esky.
Yeah, to Messina, gelato.
Take them out to the zoo.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, they're probably feeling a bit
confused.
You
should find out where they're stored. Because if they're not
in any city location, because well, I think that, they'd feel a bit lost if they were out.
Exactly. They wouldn't want to be in some horrible industrial zone. I mean, they need a view.
Room with a view. Maybe they pay the extra money for.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a loading.
I think
pay
you should look into
premium,
it.
Premium
look
real
into
estate.
It. Visitation rights.
No, I don't know. But, yes, so, look, having just gone through that, I just kind of thought, you know what, let's get back to being healthy. Not that I was unhealthy during it, but I suppose just wanting to get sleep, get back into a routine of exercise. I have got a gym membership that I have had all year. Some weeks I use it more than others. So just making a conscious effort.
It's like a reboot.
A reboot.
Yeah.
Because for me, like exercise, not just to fit into my jeans, but exercise just cleans my head and the adrenaline. And it's so obvious. We all know it. But, yeah, the more I can kind of and just, you know, eating well, making sure you're having your veggies, all that stuff. And it can be something simple. Like I think it's just even just going out and having a walk. But
and you had your nails done.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
You were very excited about that.
So we just had this wedding and it's funny because you're like, we should get all this stuff done. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go early on the beauty.
I said, which I thought made sense. I can see your point though, but I said, okay, we'll line up all the appointments for the morning of the day.
Yeah.
And then you said.
I went a week early.
I need to look good all week. But then the thing is, I'm going to look good all this week.
And can I say, I had quite a few comments. People were like, oh, nice outfit. Like, I made an effort.
Nice outfit. So, okay.
I got my nails done.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a high maintenance nail person.
No.
But look.
So you're saying that you dressed better.
I made an effort. Like, I didn't have a day where I wore my high heel boots a couple of days. That's unusual.
You do go on a date with unwashed hair.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to get home in time for a shower and I didn't.
I still made a bit of an effort. Yeah.
The first date's always a tricky one. You want to make it look like you've made an effort, but you don't want to have made an effort.
That is so true.
Anyway, we are going to have to discuss this in length because we've got another dating app coming up. I'm going to suspend all my dating chat till then. But yeah, look, I think that sometimes clothes make a difference to how you feel. The example I gave you the other day, and I firmly believe this one. Like I remember rehearsing plays, and you'd rehearse in kind of old leggings or jeans, whatever.
Yeah.
And sneakers and then you'd get to dress rehearsal and you'd put on a costume for the character or you'd put on a pair of heels and you just walk differently.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes when you're feeling a bit underwhelmed, I just think sometimes doing something because it's self-care as well. It's like, so I've actually, this is going to sound crazy, but I've made sure I've put moisturizer on all week.
I mean, for me, your whole energy changed now that I can observe it at close range every day.
Yeah.
from the nails, which is, I think, it's phenomenal. And the wax.
And the wax.
You did also get fresh again. But, you know, I saw a marked difference. So I think it's the best $20 you've ever spent.
Oh, look, I did. I just went and I hit all the appointments at once and it's been paying dividends all week.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, because I've moved office locations, I've now got different people around me, which is good. And when one of them was telling me some things this week that weren't so good about the company, I just practiced. I think maybe it's easier. It depends on the sort of personality you're dealing with. But he's quite cynical and negative, but also funny.
Yeah, I thought we like him.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. He's actually hilarious. So you can sort of say to him, so he'll be saying something that's a little bit of a downer and I'll just say, hey, do you want to have a chair race?
A chair race?
Yeah.
Can you please explain a bit more on what a chair race is?
Well, we have a courtyard outside our bunker. We're literally in a bunker, sort of like the stables of an old house. And I'm using it as my line to break a bit of a negative thing of what's being discussed. So I'm just using it as like a comic effect. And he inevitably can't, like,
well,
it's
a circuit breaker.
Yeah, it's a circuit breaker. Yeah. It catches his attention. Now it's now become I now call him Roomie, and it's become a thing where I'll be like, come on, chair race. Chairs out to the courtyard. Let's have a race. So we haven't actually done the chair race, but the point is it's a joke. It's just a funny way to break there. And then he'll sort of laugh as well and go, oh, yeah, you know, life isn't that bad.
Can I jump in here on the circuit breaker thing? Because I live at home, obviously, but I live by myself. And it's funny having...
No, not at the moment.
Not at the moment. But I was just going to say, actually having a circuit breaker, and I think particularly if people live it alone, what I've noticed, and I love living alone because I love my own time, but if you're in a bad mood, you tend to be less inclined to pull yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Like for me, other people pull me out of it.
Because you don't have to.
So I'm sure having you here is helpful as well for mood, because it just means that you get home and you've pulled out of sometimes your default rut. So where you might just sit on the couch and watch some Netflix or something, you either at least have a conversation before you go and watch some Netflix or you go and do something together, or one of you cook. Like I just think it's more social. So I'm not saying that you have to live with someone, but that circuit break, like if you know you're in a period of or a rut, like book some things in for dinner or see a friend after work for a walk.
I think you've got to know the point at which, because I also believe in, if you feel a bit sad, and we've discussed this, or there should be acknowledgement of that. I don't think you should paper over it and go, no, I'm all happy, it's fine. I think you should feel it. But, yeah, I agree. You've got to come out of it. And I think I just realized with this person in the office, I can either join this and make it worse, like we can be bad together and we can sink, or I can stop seeing it as such a heavy thing, because there's going to be frustration anywhere you go, because humans – hard work. You know, like you're basically thrown into this melting pot with people who have completely different backgrounds, don't have the same values, you know, all these, or just different personalities. So the way I think, I expect everyone else should think, it's like, well, they don't, so just accept it. So yeah, I've been using humor and it's felt a lot lighter and happier, to be honest. And also the other thing is just recognizing that, like, something bad or good doesn't have to define every day.
Sometimes the day can just be okay.
It can just be okay. It could be fine. And actually that's probably, if tragedy were to ever strike, which if you're going to live for a long time, it's going to eventually, look back on all those days and think, what was I complaining about? The fact that somebody didn't do a document the way I wanted them to do it.
But how do you stop it? Because, like, I think it's a normal social interaction. Like, you go, oh, how was your day? I often feel this unconsciously the need to give someone a long-winded story about something.
Well, it's almost like
people are expecting me to entertain them in this moment.
Yeah.
And that's me. I'm doing that. I'm sure they probably don't. But you also sometimes feel a bit like if you don't have an outrageous story – And often I'll talk things up for comedic value.
Oh, me too.
More than anything else.
Don't but let truth get in the way.
No, of a good story. But the problem is you then sometimes start to believe your own version of it.
Yeah.
So you either catastrophize something or you wildly exaggerate it to
And it's just, it's all energy out, isn't it? Like this week I think I've said to you most days, today was fine.
Yeah, I just thought you were in a really bad mood.
There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, right. There we go. Truth comes out. But that's, I definitely put pressure on myself to, I almost think it's boring.
What boring?
Like I think I rebel against dull. I think I sort of think, oh no, life always has to be really
high
or low. Like, because low is also drama.
Yeah.
You know, so drama's at both ends of the scale. I struggle to stay in the middle. So that's, anyway, those are the two things.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I am. I'm feeling a lot lighter is the word. Just,
I mean, we're both very hungover today because we were at a wedding yesterday.
I mean, I didn't even drink, so I don't know why I'm hungover. I think it's your energy contagious on me.
I think you've got to be conscious when you're not feeling great and just sometimes change some small things.
Yeah.
Well, and to be able to identify that stuff at work for you, like that's massive, the fact that you've kind of not been part of a situation that's made something worse. Like to actually kind of go, you know what, I'm just going to.
Well, don't get me wrong. I was making it worse for a period.
Well, no one's perfect.
Yeah. And I just got sick of it. It's like I got bored of myself. I was like, this is boring. I've done this before. I don't need to do this again.
Mm.
I just want to have a laugh.
How mature of you?
Yeah.
So topsy-turviness is we're feeling a little less topsy-turvy. I mean, the future is still unknown, but that's
the future's always unknown. That's the problem. That's the thing. I do think this whole thing stems from a control perspective for me.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. I just want to really control things.
But you'd be so bored if you knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah, I know. But also, like, neuroscience and behavioral economics tell us that the mind hates the gray area, the uncertainty.
Yeah,
the mind searches for the pattern.
Yeah.
So whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter because your brain will just make shit up to fill the gaps, which I think it's just sort of going for me at the moment. I'm just going, okay, I'll just go to London, see how that goes, not think anything of it.
And deal with the problems when you get back.
Then what is that? Yeah, possibly. I mean,
you're just running away. No, I'm joking.
I just want to, I don't know. I sort of think, why am I going there?
But a holiday on this, I think a holiday serves a purpose. The anticipation of a holiday, I think is almost as good as a holiday sometimes because you should always have something on the agenda, whether it's for, you know, next month, 6 months, 12 months. I think having something booked in, a break or something you're looking forward to in life is a really good thing.
I agree.
It doesn't need to be expensive. It doesn't need to be a London trip. It can be a weekend away with girlfriends.
I mean, this is, I am doing this on the cheap because I'm just staying with people. But I think it's, for me, it's just a bit more emotional because I have connections to that place.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be weird going back after a year, you know, and seeing what that brings.
Oh, I look forward to hearing that on the next episode of The Purpose Patch.
Yes. Anyway.
Very good. Well, let's carry on with our Sunday.
Wrap it up.
I think I might need a little nap.
I think it's tea time.
Might be tea time.
Yeah.
Okay. See you.
Bye.